Lord, open now my heart to hear, and through your word to me draw near. Let me your word air pure retain. Let me your child and heir remain. Your word inspires my heart within. Your word grants healing from my sin. Your word has power to guide and bless. Your word brings peace and happiness. O triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would pour out upon us these blessings of your grace in our worship today. Amen. Welcome this morning to the worship service in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who from the time of our baptism has adopted us as his people, his children, and throughout our life through the study of his word preserves and keeps us as his children and protects and defends us in our faith as Christians until finally we reach the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls in heaven. We pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus, he's removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. We give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, because you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding, pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. The first of our Bible lessons is drawn from Paul's second epistle to Timothy. We read their selected verses from the third chapter. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, where men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So far, the first lesson. Let's now join in reading responsively portions from Psalm 119 as printed in your service bulletin. Your word is a lamp to my feet,
and a light to my path.
I have sworn and confirmed accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord.
And teach me your judgments.
The wicked have laid a snare for me,
and I have not strayed from your precepts.
Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever.
For they are the rejoicing of my heart.
I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. Now, our second Bible reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, reading in the 8th chapter, verses 21 to 32. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found printed on page 15. In the liturgy insert in front of the maroon hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation on this day, on this special occasion of John Sprengler's confirmation, you find recorded in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here ends the text. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, and especially you, John, who today are confirming your faith and pledging lifelong faithfulness to Jesus and to his holy word. It's hard to believe that we've studied the catechism in confirmation class now for 3 years. During that time period, since you were a sixth grader, John, we've been blessed by the Lord to have 80 sessions together studying the six chief parts of Christian doctrine. And during this time, you've learned a lot of Bible verses. You've committed to memory various parts of the catechism and a number of precious psalms. There have also been many important Bible words that you have learned the meaning of, very important for our lives as Christians, like regeneration, sanctification, justification. There's one word in particular I'd like to spend a few more minutes in my last class, quote unquote, with you this morning on your confirmation day, and every day of your life moving forward, I encourage you to praise the Lord for his grace. An important Bible word, grace. What is grace? Well, you remember from our catechism study that grace is God's undeserved love. We often describe it as amazing because it's incredible, almost unbelievable to think that God could or would turn his loving, fatherly heart towards us poor sinners who are not worthy even of the least of his kindnesses. In the verse that comes at the beginning of our text, Paul says, "You were dead in trespasses." You remember also Bible verses, law verses that you had as on your memory assignment list, some law verses like, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Then from Romans 7, where Paul writes, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." You learned, according to the Bible, that sin is like an awful disease that we are all born with, 1,000 times worse than any COVID-19 virus, because it means we were destined to live only a few years here on earth and then to suffer the terrible punishment, separated from God forever in the eternal fires of hell. What did God do for you? You also learned a lot of sweet Bible verses, gospel-centered verses, like John 3:16, where we learn that in his grace, God gave the world his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish in hell, but have eternal life. He sent Jesus to live a holy life for you and to offer his life as a ransom for your deliverance, at the high cost of his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. And then, during your time of life, he made these blessings your own personal possession on the day of your baptism, when your parents brought you to this font here in the front of the church on September 24th, 2006. You received the sacrament of baptism in the name of the triune God and made all the blessings of Jesus your own personal possession. He applied to your soul his healing touch, cured you of the sin virus, took off from you the filthy clothes of your goodness, which in the sight of our holy God are like filthy rags, and dressed you in the indescribably beautiful, super magnificent clothes of Jesus' holiness by working the miracle of faith in your heart. Isn't that something wonderful to think about? What reason you have today and each day of your life moving forward to praise the Lord and to sing, "Oh, that I had 1,000 voices to praise my God with 1,000 tongues. My heart, which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim in grateful songs to all, wherever I might be, what great things the Lord has done for me." And you also have great reason to praise the Lord, because in His grace, He's going to empower you to live as His dear child in the days of your life ahead. I know, John, that you like to play the Minecraft video game. For those of you who aren't familiar with Minecraft, that would probably be most of us adults. It's a computer game in which players build and explore a procedurally generated 3D world and discover and extract various raw materials like dirt, stone, ores of metal, water, lava, also various craft tools, so that they can build structures. And part of the game, depending on the world that you select, the game mode is to hunt for passive mobs like cows and chickens and pigs, which you can use for food, and to defend yourself against the hostile mobs, large spiders and other dangerous creatures and creepers that can sneak up on you and hurt you. Yeah, if you choose the lower level of difficulty, the hostile mobs are not permitted to spawn and hurt you, but if you choose the higher degree of difficulty, you run the risk of taking damage from the hostile mobs and to starve to death if your hunger bar gets depleted. Of course, in Minecraft, you know, everybody knows, mobs and the creepers aren't real. Just imaginary computer-generated creatures that are fantasy. In our lives as baptized children of God, living in this world, there are real hostile mobs who are out to do us damage, who want to hurt our faith and deprive our souls of spiritual food so that we starve spiritually. From your catechism study, you've learned to know who these mobs are. There's the old creeper, sly dragon, Satan. He's hiding around the corner ear for a chance to pounce on you and devour you spiritually. The wicked world that wants to creep in upon us Christians and lead us away from our Savior, away from the safety of His sheepfold, from His church, from the Bible, so that our hunger bar, spiritually speaking, gets run down and our faith peters out. And then there's the old Adam, the sin nature, which would spawn sins, lead us into all manner of sinful conduct pattern after the morally polluted world to our spiritual ruin. Paul in Ephesians 6 describes these mobs that we Christians must do battle with on a daily basis as the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And the hymn writer graphically describes these enemies of our faith when he says, "My soul, be on your guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts or armies of sin are pressing hard to draw you from the skies, that is, to spoil your faith in Jesus and keep you from making it to the final goal of your faith, which is heaven. So how can you defend yourself? How can any of us defend ourselves against these sinister enemies? Well, you've again learned that from your scripture study, your catechism class. You've read, memorized Bible verses where the Lord has taught you that He is the one who enables you by His Word to stay powered up spiritually and your soul well fed so that your hunger bar does not get depleted. The Lord in love, in His grace, makes you invulnerable to all the enemy creepers. Paul put it like this later on in that same Ephesians chapter 6, encouragement to all of us as Christians. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the truth of God's word, the breastplate of righteousness in place, always remembering that I'm covered with Jesus' perfect righteousness by faith, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. As you walk step by step through your life, remember that through repentance you have the joy, the peace of God's forgiveness in Christ. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's why in your confirmation vows, John, you're going to be promising to be diligent in the use of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the means of grace, the gospel, and the Word, and the sacrament, to be a faithful Bible student and a faithful church attender and a faithful guest at the Lord's Supper, because that's the weapon or the power source that the God of all grace is going to use to keep you safe, keep your faith strong against the evil enemies that we all meet up with along the road of life in this sinful world. And also, not only using the Word of God as a defensive weapon, but as an offensive weapon. That's also alluded to by Paul in our text here in Ephesians 2, that he will enable you to live a life productive to the Lord's glory in good works, which he, and this is pretty amazing to think about, he picked out to you to do for him for his praise even before you ever were his child. In fact, even before the world was. That's what Paul says. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So yeah, he will in his amazing grace enable you to let your Christian light shine as his baptized child, to show your love for Jesus by living according to the precepts of his holy word, by the godly attitudes you display in your interactions with other people, and by the way that you talk, the words that you season with Christian love. Also, when you're away at school, Lord willing, next fall at Eau Claire, and your parents aren't around to watch over you and lend you their loving guidance, you know that Jesus will be there watching over you and helping you in love to walk in his good shepherd paths through the word that you continue faithfully to hear and learn. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't it show what a special Savior you have who is rich, truly rich in his amazing grace? And finally, may you rejoice and praise God on your confirmation day and each day of the future because you have the Lord's guarantee that he's going to keep you as his dear child, saved by grace, all the way to the end. Have you learned about verb tenses in school, like in English grammar class? You know there are like past tenses of verbs, John, right? There's present tenses, and then there's future tenses. Yesterday I rode to Walmart in the car with my dad and mom. Past tense. Today I'm worshiping Jesus with my fellow Christians at church. Present tense, right? Tonight, and I don't know if you're going to do it or not, but I will watch an exciting Disney movie with my sister. Future tense. Well, guess which verb tense the Apostle Paul uses here in our text when speaking about our entrance into the joys of heaven with Jesus. If you're thinking future, you would be wrong. This is also pretty interesting and amazing that Paul uses the past tense when talking about our being with Jesus in heaven. Here's what he says. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Past tense, that in the ages to come he might then show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ. How can Paul, why does Paul use the past tense when speaking about the Lord our God taking us to be with him in heaven, to be with Jesus? Answer, because as baptized, regenerated, restored, redeemed, forgiven children of the Heavenly Father, we already have everything that Jesus came from heaven to give us. And as far as God is concerned, and that's the perspective Paul is presenting here, we're already sitting with Jesus in glory. Our final victory has already been won. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As you stay in touch with Jesus through his word throughout your life, faithfully utilizing the means he's provided to keep you as his own, you've already been brought by him into your heavenly homeland. That is the guarantee, John, that the Lord gives you on your confirmation day and each day of your life ahead. So praise the Lord. May we all praise the Lord for his amazing grace by which he made us his children, by which he empowers us to live each day as his saved children, and keeps us as his own until our heavenly homecoming day. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and your thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and you may be aware the offering is not collected in the pews by the ushers, but there's a collection plate in the church entry for those that would like to give a donation for the Lord's work. At this time, we will offer prayer and a misprint in the bulletin. For some reason, when I typed out the special petition prayer, my mind was off track. And it's on behalf of Landon Scow that we are desiring to offer prayer. He was hospitalized last week with a serious liver ailment. He's at the hospital, Lutheran Hospital in Wheat Ridge. And so we desire to offer a prayer on his behalf and then also offer the general prayer as well. O Lord, you took on human flesh and blood and in your own body experienced pain and suffering. We come to you at this time imploring your mercy on behalf of Landon, who is seriously ill. Look upon him with mercy. If it is your will, use the medical care he's receiving to bring healing and recovery of strength to his body. Take away the worries that burden his heart and fill his soul with your peace. By the work of the Holy Spirit, teach him to trust in your forgiveness and your amazing grace. Give to his loved ones assurance that you've heard their prayers and ours, and that you will answer in a way that accords with your gracious will. We commend Landon to your care, knowing that you love him with a perfect love. In Jesus' name, amen. And O Lord of all power and grace, whose eyes are on the righteous and whose ears are open to their cry, hear the prayer of your people as we come to you now in thankfulness for the mercies you pour down upon us every day. We thank you for the gifts of your mighty providence and the daily miracle of supplying the needs of all creatures, great and small, for opening your hand and giving them their food in due season. We praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, whom you sent to be the Savior of the world. Grant that we may believe in him with all our hearts, learning from him the great truths of the kingdom which he proclaimed. Help us to keep his word with a pure mind, to love him with a true heart, and to serve him with a willing spirit. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may produce the fruits of righteousness. May he supply us with unwavering faith, so that we're ready always to keep your commandments and do your will. Of your mercy, give us an increase of grace, peace, and all spiritual knowledge in your church. Raise up a ministry that will seek souls for salvation, willing to forsake all selfish concerns and to follow the Lord Jesus wherever he may lead. Defend and preserve those who proclaim your word wherever they may be suffering for the sake of your name. Strengthen them in faith and courage by the grace of Christ. We also pray, dear Lord, for the nations of the earth. Subdue terror and tyranny everywhere, and call forth leaders who shall acknowledge that you are Lord over all the earth. Bless our own country. May its citizens ever follow that which is good and forsake all that is wicked, that our people may prosper in uprightness and integrity. Hear, O Lord, when we cry unto you for the afflicted, grant unto them help in body and soul, and save them for the sake of your mercy. And since in this life we are but strangers in a strange land, guide and uphold us, and bring us all in due time to our heavenly fatherland. Receive now these petitions in the name of the Prince of Life, Jesus, our dear Lord, in whose name we also pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hey, John, you may now come forward for your confirmation. Dear John, when you were a little child, you received the sacrament of holy baptism as a divine seal of God's forgiveness for your sins and your adoption into his family through faith in Jesus, your Savior. By this faith in the Lord Jesus, you became a member of the Holy Christian Church, and your body became a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now that you've been instructed in the Word of God, you are able to examine yourself so that you may receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner together with the congregation. And you stand here today before God and this Christian congregation to make public profession of your faith and to dedicate yourself, body and soul, for time and for eternity to your God and Lord. Lift up your heart with me, therefore, to the God of all grace, and cheerfully give answer to the questions I shall now ask you in the name of the Lord and as the called pastor of this congregation. Do you this day in the presence of God and this Christian congregation acknowledge the gifts which God gave to you in holy baptism?
I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and ways?
I do.
Do you believe in the triune God, God the Father, your Creator, God the Son, Jesus, your Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit, your Sanctifier, as we confessed him this day in the Apostles' Creed?
I do.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired and inerrant Word of God, and the teaching of this evangelical Lutheran church drawn from the Bible, as you've learned to know it from your study of Martin Luther's small catechism, to be true and correct?
I do.
Do you wish to become a communicant member of St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church, which is a congregation affiliated with the Church of the Lutheran Confession? Do you also intend to continue steadfast in the confession of the Scriptures and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do so intend with the help of God.
Finally, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the rule of the divine word, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace, to live your life as a redeemed child of God, and in faith, in your words, and in your conduct, to remain true to the triune God, even unto death?
I do so intend with the help of God.
Upon these, your professions and promises, I invite and welcome you as a communicant member of St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church to share with us all the gifts which the Lord has given to his church in a lifetime of worship and service to your Lord and Savior. And give now your hand at the Lord's altar, and kneeling, receive his blessing. John Elijah Springler, may the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, make you strong, firm, and steadfast, and keep you through faith unto eternal life. And your chosen Bible memory verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let us pray. You can stand. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that you've brought your servant, John Springler, to a saving knowledge of your son Jesus in holy baptism, cleansed him by Jesus' blood, and buried him with Christ by baptism into death. We implore you of your great goodness to renew in him the gift of the Holy Spirit, that his heart may be filled with the light of your gospel. Increase in him pure knowledge and true faith, that he may firmly believe in you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, and ever cling to you with an unwavering faith. Defend him from the power of darkness, and establish him in the kingdom of your Son, wherein we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Fill his heart and mind with the peace of Christ, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and love for you and all people. Endow him richly with the gifts of your heavenly grace, that he may be led into all truth. Crucify the deeds of the flesh, overcome the assaults and temptations of the evil one, and serve you in your church in holiness and righteousness all his days, and that together with all your true believers, that he may with a joyful heart and watchful prayer and in self-control, godly living, hope and wait for the coming of the Savior to the honor of your holy name, who lives and reigns with the Son and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Lord's blessings and congratulations. You may be seated. We now sing the next hymn as noted on the hymn board, the four stanzas of the communion hymn.
Thank you.
The liturgy continues on page 17 of your liturgy insert. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them saying, Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O Lamb of God, O Christ our Lord, whose blood once shed, true life restored, impart your joy, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy, and grant us your peace.
You may be seated, and our communicants may now come forward as the usher directs.
Thank you.
rise. Our service concludes beginning with the liturgy on the top of page 20.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace, a light to lead the Gentiles to your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. A glory to the Father, a glory to the Son, a glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, triune name resounding through all eternity.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.
My heart has now become your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. Shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
And please note that our closing hymn is found in the TAN supplement.
Grace first devised the way.